Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, this is the Closing Market Report for Thursday, October 9th, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker, CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Also this half hour, we'll look at the cash grain market with Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. In agricultural news, the World Organization for Animal Health says that spray-dried porcine plasma is likely not to transmit PED virus. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason says attention is growing for a scientific magazine edited at the University of Illinois. And we'll have the latest on agricultural weather with Mike Tanura of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. It's all on the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
Let's see how futures settled on this Thursday afternoon. Hard red winter December wheat, 572 and three quarters, down 13 and three quarters. Soft December, 493 and a quarter, down 14 and a half. December corn settled 344 and three quarters, up 1 1/2. March, 357 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. May, 366 and a half, up 1 1/4. July, 374, up three quarters. November soybean settled at 942, up 7. January, 950, up 6 1/2. March, 958 and a half, up 6 1/2. May, 966 and three quarters, up 6 1/4. July at 974 was up 6 1/4. October soybean meal settled 333, up 320. October soybean oil, 32.88, unchanged. Last trades, October live cattle, 163.15, down 2.95. October lean hogs, 109.67 and a half, up 155. And those are today's settlements and last trades from the Chicago Board of Trade. Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says too much rain is still expected from eastern Kansas and Missouri to Michigan, Ohio, and Kentucky over the next several days. Two waves of significant rain are expected, and a portion of the region is already saturated with moisture. The first wave of rain is expected today and Friday across the lower Midwest. The second wave of rain will occur Sunday through Tuesday from Kansas and Missouri to Michigan, Ohio, and Kentucky. Extreme eastern Kansas and parts of Illinois will be wettest. Much drier weather is expected October 15th through the 25th, with less frequent and less significant rain in the U.S. Midwest, along with warmer than usual temperatures. Our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference is November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. We've got the latest on farmland values, and we'll spend time looking at crop insurance under the new farm bill, as well as the pending ARC-PLC decision. And we've got marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. The cost is just $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. are listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the futures market is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana, although he's traveling at the moment. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hi, Dave.
Want to say that corn market up 1.5 and the soybean market up 7 on the harvest contract months is probably not all that bad a thing, given that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is 16,678. It's down 315 points.
No, I think the commodities held up quite well. Actually, corn and soybeans have been strengthening all week. We're up significantly for the week going into Friday session. Now, the wheat market gave back a big chunk of its change, but it's also up for the week. It had a good day there on Monday and was able to follow through as corn has. So I think what it tells you is the market is deeply oversold, and there's a lot of shorts in the market. The small guy must be short with the big guys because usually when you get a 300-point drop in the Dow and then you get just prior to a major crop report that could have a lot of surprises in it, you would think that after the rally that we've had in corn and soybeans, you'd see some softness here today. Instead, it closed higher. So it does tell me that there's a lot of shorts in this market, and they seem to be fairly comfortable, at least at the moment, thinking that maybe tomorrow's report's going to, you know, throw them some bearish numbers and they'll be able to come back out of it. But, you know, anybody that put in a position, holding a short position under 350 on these corn and under 950 on November beans don't have a lot of profit. If not, maybe they could be underwater a little bit.
And there were some new longs that actually entered the market earlier in the week as end users thought they need to maybe buy up a little bit as well. What would happen? Well, let me put it this way. Is it possible that after we see the numbers tomorrow and begin to digest it, that we actually do make new highs for the week in both corn and beans? And if we can do that, despite whatever news we get out of that report, what could it potentially tee up further to the north?
Well, it's hard for me to see how the report would be bullish, but it could be, like I said, all priced in. Mm-hmm. So there could be nothing new, no new selling to come into the marketplace. And then what you would see then would be short covering take hold, and that's what would maybe take the market higher. The positive twist in this week's strength is open interest has been rising with the rising prices, which does tell you that new buying interest has come into the marketplace, and it has offset the selling interest. Whether that's in user buying domestically, or is that foreign buying, or is it hedge fund buying that we don't know yet for sure until we see the CFTC report. But it does indicate that the rally has brought in some new buying. Primarily, anybody that watches the technical side of the market is going to be on the buy side. Because the chart pattern has really been dressed up, and it has flashed a lot of buy signals over the past few days. The buy signals started flashing late last week, and since the open interest has been rising, it tells me that a lot of the shorts in the market have been holding tight with their positions. So if we come in tomorrow and USDA gives us a bearish report and we can't go down on it, then I think you'd see some short-covering take hold. I suppose a couple critical points would be if December corn can muster a close above the 351 area. That would be a real positive construction technical move, and I think that would go a long ways in solidifying that we've at least found a temporary bottom down here at this 318 area, and the market now might be, after we have a short covering blowout, that the market then would maybe start turning sideways. I think the key number probably in November soybeans would be to close above this 955, 956 area. There's a chart gap there that November went up into it but wasn't able to quite fill.
By a penny or two, right.
If the market would go back and go above 55, I think it would find some buy stops, and it would go ahead and fill that chart gap. And then I think that would probably tee up the soybean market for a run on up into the 980s. The corn, if we could get a close above 350, that would maybe tee up a move, maybe a run into the 370s. That would be the bullish argument. If the report is so bearish that it brings in new selling and it shakes out any of the longs, well, then we would be primed then to go on down and, you know, take out those lows that we had here in late September, early October, and make new lows. But from a technical point of view, I think the market has kind of made a statement that prices, at least on the futures market, has reached a value, and then now maybe it's the basis levels that'll do the rest of the work from here on out. One thing that's keeping, you know, the market from going sharply lower is the harvest is being drug out because of rain delays. And we do have a daily consumption rate on both corn and soybeans. And you know, when you take a look at since the first part of September, and now we're here October 10th or so, that, you know, we've already used up maybe a billion bushels of this new crop. So we are, you know, the more the harvest is drug out, the more that we're going to use, and the less likely we're going to have you know, some kind of harvest glut situation that would send prices sharply lower. So that's something to probably be watching, will be weather forecasts, if it keeps people from going full board and plugging everything up.
Very quick question before we let you go. If you're a hedger, would you do something ahead of 11 o'clock tomorrow?
I think if you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of inventory priced, and you do need some protection, I do think, you know, 350 March puts on corn, maybe, you know, some 925s or 920s or something like that puts on beans. You might want to have some downward protection if USDA really throws us a curveball.
Okay.
And the report is terribly bearish. Or if you're in a situation that you have to move some at harvest, this might be a place to do that, and then look to maybe buy a call option to replace that. It all depends upon what kind of situation you're in.
Thank you, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
In agricultural news, the World Organization for Animal Health yesterday said that an animal feed supplement suspected of spreading a deadly pig virus is not likely to transmit the disease if manufacturers follow proper safety procedures. Multiple studies suggest that spray-dried porcine plasma, a supplement containing pig's blood that is fed to piglets, is not a likely source a PED virus, provided that good manufacturing practices and biosecurity standards are followed. Blood products are used around the world in the diets of piglets. The virus has killed an estimated 8 million piglets, or 13% of the U.S. hog herd, since it was first identified in the United States last year. The U.S. Surface Transportation Board ruled yesterday that all Class 1 railroads must report detailed freight service statistics weekly, a decision that cited months of congestion that has hit the grain and power industries especially hard. The rail regulator will also require the 7 Class 1 carriers operating in the United States to jointly report a narrative summary of operating conditions at the Chicago Gateway, a busy rail hub that is a choke point in the national network. Federal Reserve officials have become more concerned about weak growth overseas and the impact of a strengthening U.S. dollar on the domestic economy. That, according to minutes of the Fed's September policy meeting released yesterday. Officials worried at its September meeting that disappointing growth in Europe, Japan, and China could crimp U.S. exports. Meantime, the stronger currency, by reducing the cost of imported goods and services, could hold U.S. inflation below the Fed's 2% objective. Crop forecaster Landworth raised its forecasts for U.S. 2014 corn and soybean production yesterday. Landworth raised its corn production estimate to 14.647 billion bushels, with a yield of 175.5 bushels to the acre, that up from its 174.9 estimate on September 29th. For soybeans, Landworth raised its forecast for the U.S. yield to 47.9 BPA versus 47.1 previously, and estimated soybean production at 3.947 billion bushels. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. An agribusiness journal edited at the University of Illinois has become a standard bearer for agribusiness research. Todd Gleason has more on the scientific magazine.
The International Food and Agribusiness Management Review publishes high-quality, peer-reviewed, scholarly articles on topics related to the practice of management in the food and agribusiness industry. The editor of the journal is Peter Goldsmith. He's an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. Under his hand, the journal has become the flagship publication for agribusiness management.
That was kind of a fledgling sort of publication. And now we receive over 14,000 articles are now downloaded. These are scientific articles every month from the journal. And we have the fastest growing, for scholars, impact factor in the field of agricultural economics and agribusiness. So we've really put this journal on the map and created a destination for scholars and set a bar for scholars in the field of agribusiness where there wasn't one before.
Again, the journal provides managers, researchers, and teachers a forum where they can publish and acquire research results, new ideas, application of new knowledge, and discussion of issues important to the worldwide food and agribusiness system.
We have submissions from all over the globe, which is really important because many of the exciting phenomena in the field of food and agribusiness is occurring in among emerging countries. And you want the scholars that are there, the scientists that are there, to study and write about them. And they wouldn't be part of a peer review process, the scientific process, if it weren't for a journal like ours. And so it brings them kind of to an international level, raises the standard, and brings those phenomena to light.
The International Food and Agribusiness Review is unique not only because of its global scope, but also because it is targeted to academics and agribusiness managers alike.
So we have scientific articles, we have lots of case studies, we also have industry commentary, industry interviews. So we publish a number of things, and people like Hugh Grant, CEO of Monsanto, wrote an essay, head of supply chain management for Nestle's, a gentleman named Hans Jahr. I mean, these kinds of people wrote articles raising this issue about human capital and how we bring human capital, high-quality human capital, into the food and agribusiness space. And so we provide that service as well.
Goldsmith says the International Food and Agribusiness Management Review has impact. It gives academics, through the peer review process, a platform seen and downloaded by thousands. The journal is open access online and does not require a subscription. The web address is www.ifama.org, or just search Google for International Food and Agribusiness Management Review. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Dave. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking. You know, thus far the harvest has been fairly organized, fairly routine, and I say that from the standpoint that the rain that we've seen, especially over here on the eastern side of the Corn Belt, has kept the glut of corn from all coming at once. It's been spread out very nicely, and I'm wondering to the degree that has helped futures.
Well, I think that it's definitely helped a little bit, especially, looking at corn and beans, you've seen some basis, that's actually come back just a little bit, especially in the beans, and I think it's just simply been a few delays in harvest, and I think that, we've seen this week probably a variety of things that have gotten into the market, but by all means, I think weather would be one of them.
So let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that would be the report tomorrow. I would suspect that some people are beginning to think about putting some positions on or have already done so ahead of the report.
We've seen a variety of things from guys that didn't have enough sold putting puts under the market to a few guys that have sold out of the field and want to have some ownership to the long side, buying some calls. And I've seen a few guys speculating on both sides, thinking there'll be a volatile reaction one way or the other. They just don't know which way. So it's going to be pretty interesting tomorrow to see what the market does. And my general tendency all along has been that the yield would go up and the acreage might come down a little bit, but I don't know if acreage is going to get adjusted a whole lot just yet. So if yield goes up, I think it'll be a situation where this rally probably gets stopped dead in its tracks.
Well, I suppose that you might be able to make the case that the further west you go in the harvest and the further north you go in the harvest, maybe the yields might not be as rich as they are here.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. From what I've seen this summer, being west and north, I know that there's some challenges with their crops. But then obviously, you talk to a lot of guys in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, and there's a lot of guys that are pleasantly surprised, and they had pretty high hopes to begin with. So I think it's a mixed bag, and it's going to be really interesting to see where they come in. And I'll be real interested to see whether they go ahead and address the acreage situation or not.
So what do you think? Will the market turn sideways, do you think, after this report is out of the way?
Well, I think after the report's out of the way, it gets into a discussion of how far along are we in harvest. And I think once we get half or a little bit farther in the harvest, I do think at some point we're going to get a little bit of a sideways and maybe a resumption of this higher move. Because if we go lower tomorrow, I don't think that it's going to be really long-lived.
Okay.
Unless it's just an extremely shocking number.
Okay.
So, that'd be my take on it.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Dave.
Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. It's Moldy Cheese Day. It's also Grinder Hoagie and Hero Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1806, Benjamin Banneker died. An American inventor, mathematician, and compiler of almanacs, he was the first to record the arrival of the 17-year locust. The periodical cicada is usually solitary, but from time to time it migrates in vast swarms, which causes extreme damage to crops. In 1865, the first underground oil pipeline was laid between Oil Creek and Pit Hole, Pennsylvania. The 5.5-mile, 2-inch pipeline delivered 80 barrels of oil an hour to railway terminals in Pit Hole. In 1906, Joseph Farwell Glidden died, an American inventor. Glidden was an Illinois farmer when he developed his design of the first commercial barbed wire, a product that would transform the West. Glidden's barbed wire opened the prairie to large-scale farming and made him one of the wealthiest men in the U.S. And in 1996, the world's largest grilled cheese sandwich was made. It weighed in at 3,000 pounds and was a publicity stunt for Kraft Foods. The sandwich measured 11 feet by 11 feet and was equivalent to about 600 individual sandwiches. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Mike Tenura of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, a lot of people who can hear me on the radio right now, they're not hearing me from any combine because it seems like we're going to be closed down for harvest, especially in the eastern Corn Belt for a while.
That's the way it looks, and really more of the southern Corn Belt. Areas primarily to the south of Interstate 80 will see multiple rounds of significant rainfall over the next 5 days. The first batch of rain is moving through as we speak, but if you take a close look at the radar, you'll notice that most of the rain is centered on the southern third of the Corn Belt, and then eventually it will extend on into the Delta. That area there is the area of concern for corn and soybean harvesting over the next 5 days. And we think an even bigger issue will eventually become soft red winter wheat planting. Most of the Delta and the southern third of the Corn Belt, primarily from Champaign on to the south, will see very heavy rainfall over the next couple of days. We're looking for a widespread 1 to 3 inches of rain through Saturday. But then the more important issue is that another system moves on through on Sunday into Monday and Tuesday. That will drop another 1 to 2 inches of rain across much of the same area. So by the time you add all of this up, we're looking at fairly widespread 2-inch to 5-inch amounts, with most of the 5-inch amounts across far southern Illinois and then into Kentucky, Tennessee, and Missouri and Arkansas. So generally just south of the listening area. But this is not a good situation for harvesting, and we would argue it's more of an important issue for wheat planting than anything as we move forward.
Kansas will be happy to see some of this rain, though. It's been dry there.
Well, that's the flip side of it. Even though planting will slow a little bit off to the west in the plains, the hard red winter wheat crop is mostly planted across that region. Compare that to Illinois, where only 9% of the wheat crop have been planted as of Sunday. So off in the plains, this rain event will be a very good thing as we move forward because it will provide that region with 1 to 2 inches of rain, primarily from Kansas on to the south into Oklahoma and Texas. And then we'll see a nice dry out period next week with some fairly warm temperatures out there as well. So you put all that together and you end up with a pretty nice forecast for hard red winter wheat growth and development over the next 7 to 10 days.
Does the eastern and southeastern Corn Belt also get to see the warm up?
There will be a fairly significant warm up once the rain ends. That will end around Monday and Tuesday. So we're talking about the middle to end of next week. It does look drier. It does look quite a bit warmer. However, there is some uncertainty regarding how long that will last. At this point, we have fairly high confidence that at least 3 to 5 days of completely dry weather is most likely later next week and into next weekend. But right after that, it's very difficult to determine exactly how all the cards will play out.
A talking point in the southern hemisphere, Brazil in particular, has been how dry it's been early in the planting season. Should we be concerned about that at this point?
Well, we need to be concerned about it for the next 7 to 10 days, only because you can't plant very much in the way of corn and soybean planting when you have hot and dry weather in October. And it will be very hot and very dry over that period as upper-level high pressure dominates.
Thank you, Mike.
Have a great day.
Mike Tenura of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.